Hello and welcome to another episode of Side by Side ATC, the podcast. I'm your host, Tom Haynes, and today's episode, I'm going to answer the question, what are the most common reasons people fail or struggle at the FAA Academy? A wonderful question. Wow, it's taken me a little bit to think about it and to kind of put my thoughts into some sort of, well, let's just go at it. All right, so I've broken it down into about five different areas that I think contribute to people failing, and we'll start with, I think some students come in to the academy with a little bit of unrealistic expectations. I know it's difficult to know exactly what the academy is going to be like. I know a lot of you that are interested in the academy, a lot of you that are in the process of going to the academy, you're able to communicate with students who are there already. You're able to some forums and some chats where you can kind of read what they're going through, but it's still, when you get there, it's still different. It's not what you expect. And for those of you who did well in high school, maybe even did well in college, it can be eye-opening, and it can be a gut punch when you get to, your first big evals are the two non-radar evals. And non-radar is it's a different animal. It's just different. But it's a great foundation for learning how to be an air traffic controller. You learn how to give clearances. You learn how to think about separation. You learn a lot of things in non-radar. And then you get to the non-radar evals, and they can kick you in the head. I've seen scores that run the gamut. I mean, I've seen students get 197. I've seen other students get fairly low scores, and even very low scores. The thing to remember about non-radar is anything averaging in the 60s or above, and you're okay. You haven't killed yourself. Now, if you do end up averaging below that, just know you have got to change what you're doing. Okay? So the reason I bring all that up is the unrealistic expectation is, if you've been to college, if you've done well in college, you've done well in high school, you're not used to scoring low on anything. And it can be quite the blow. It was a blow to me when I went through the academy. I got a 49 on my first graded. And I've told the story in earlier podcasts about how I got past that and how it pushed me, and it made me understand that this wasn't going to be like just about everything else that I had tried in my life. This was going to be difficult, and this will be difficult. I don't care what kind of experience you have, whether you can come in with military experience, you can come in with CTI experience, you can come in with parents that were controllers. It doesn't matter. It is still an incredibly difficult thing that you are trying to accomplish by going to the FAA Academy. It is not easy. And so your expectations need to be accurate about what to expect when you get there, what to expect from the workload. And I got to tell you, for 3 months, nothing else matters, period. And for those of you that are married, have families, have significant others, it's going to be difficult. Get their support for what you're doing. Let them support you. Let them help you practice. Help you study when you're not with your class studying. Get their support, okay? But those unrealistic expectations, you can deal with that. But you have to be honest about how hard it's going to be and how much work it's going to take. Okay? So number two is some students have difficulty making high-stress decisions. And I debated about that one, how to put it. So let's see if I can describe it a little bit. It's hard to practice what it's going to be like when you're in the evaluation and you have an evaluator looking over your shoulder and writing stuff down. And you're going to be nervous. So your whole nervous system is at about 200 or 300% of what it probably needs to be at. Okay? And making decisions in that situation is not the easiest thing in the world. It's really not. And I wish I could tell you that if you do this, that's good practice. If you do this, that's good practice. If you do this, that's good practice. But there's really no way to simulate that. I wish there were. I wish there were a way to tell you, oh, go play this video game or go, you know, do something else. But there's really no way to simulate that. Because no matter where else you are, you're not in that room at that moment in the middle of an eval trying to figure out what the traffic is for one of your departures or when one of your overflights calls and wants to change an altitude or when you're trying to get arrivals down into the approach control or into one of the airports. There's no real way to simulate that. And even when you're going through the scenarios at the academy, you know that those scenarios are not going to be graded. So it's hard to simulate that. But just understand, you are going to be nervous. You are going to be stressed. So try to put yourself in those situations when you're going through those scenarios. Try to, I wish I had a better way of saying it, but just try to put yourself in that situation. Try to imagine that whichever scenario you're working on, especially when you get into the high teens and the 20s in non-radar, try to force yourself to do a perfect run. Try to force yourself even more than that. Ooh, even more than trying to make a perfect run. Try to force yourself to actually make decisions. Make decisions. You need to be free to make decisions. Okay? It's practice. Treat it like that. You know, they say you play the way you practice. Well, what you need to do to make decisions, to practice making decisions, is to make them. You have to make them. Get in the habit. When you're in the middle of those scenarios, make a decision. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Okay? It's a paper airplane. There are not real people in that airplane. I know one of the leads that I used to work with said, imagine there are puppies in that airplane. Because apparently some people care more about puppies than they do people in the airplane. But they're not airplanes. They're not people. They're not puppies. They're not kittens. They're not whatever you value in there. It is practice. Make decisions. Don't make them so fast that you're making a bunch of wrong ones. I'm not talking about fast. I'm just talking about when you have done your traffic search, when you have used the what, you know where that airplane is, you know what airplanes are traffic that are holding, you know what airspace is traffic for that airplane, and you know what other airplanes are traffic. Make the decision. Write the restrictions on the strip. Give the clearance. And do it. And leave it. Don't think about it. Go to the next thing. Believe me, the instructor behind you is busy trying to figure out if your restriction was right. I had a student one time that I think got kind of tired at the end of the problem. Had a guy at 16,000 over Jackson that was going into Monroe. And he told him to descend and maintain, I think it was 5, may have been whatever it was. He hit everything. And, you know, you can't just say descend and maintain. Just no. That's the scariest clearance in all of non-radar. Climb and maintain or descend and maintain with no restriction. But once you have done all your traffic search, make the decision and stick with it. Okay? Because that is about the only way that you're going to learn how to make those decisions. And you're going to have to make those decisions later on in non-radar and your evals. You're going to have to make those decisions in radar. Start practicing. Make the decisions. And that'll help you. Okay. Number 3. Poor communication skills. And I will further narrow that down to poor listening skills. And believe me, it's not just air traffic control students. It's pilot students. It's everybody. It's professional pilots. We all have an expectation of what we're going to hear, and so we don't actively listen. And it's amazing. I work at an airport that has a lot of student pilots, and I'll give them even taxi instructions, and they don't. It's called a read back. You're supposed to read it back exactly the way it was told to you. They can't. And as a student, as an air traffic control student, you are going to have to repeat verbatim what you have been told. When you get into radar, you're going to have to repeat what you have been told over the landline to the R side. No editing, no embellishing. Word for word what you were told. And if you're not listening, you can't do that. Okay, did you hear me? Let's practice listening. You cannot repeat something if you were not listening. And that is one of the hardest skills when it comes to being an air traffic controller. You have to listen. So in non-radar, practice it. Listen to what the remote is telling you. Because they're a human. They're either a classmate or they're a professional remote that might be in there. But they make mistakes. Sometimes it's your instructor. They make mistakes. They're humans. You have to be listening. You have to catch the mistakes. Okay? I think that's about all on that. Most students don't have a problem talking on a radio because it's hard to imagine it's a radio when the person's sitting next to you that you're talking to. And so that gets over that, you know, kind of fear of talking into a microphone. It's not that bad. Okay. So just make sure you're listening. Make sure that when the pilot, the remote, the pilot, the controller, when they key up, you're not thinking about anything else except what they are telling you. That's why we do the strip marking as we're listening. It reinforces it. Okay? All right. Number four. Failure to adapt to readback or to, no, not readbacks. No, I'm still on number three. Number four, failure to adapt to feedback. This was also one of my bugaboos as a controller throughout my career. And even before I became a controller, as a soccer player, I didn't do very well with negative feedback. And part of that was probably because my dad never gave me negative feedback. I had the most positive and supportive dad in the world, to the point where he thought I was the best soccer player ever. And I knew I wasn't. And so I kind of looked at everything he said and took it with a grain of salt and just went on because I knew, well, he's just being a dad. But then when I had coaches that were not my dad, and every once in a while, you know, there was a point I remember playing for an Olympic development team in Fort Worth, Texas. We were playing a team from Dallas, and the coach subbed me out for a minute and gave me instructions, and he was telling me, don't do what you've been doing, do it this way. And even just something as simple as that, it was difficult for me to take. And when you get to the academy, you are going to get negative feedback. You actually want negative feedback. And for those of you, I'll go back, those of you that did well in high school, did well in college, you're not used to negative feedback. It's going to happen. Because you're not, no one goes through the academy being perfect. You're going to get negative feedback. You're going to get instructors that you don't really mesh very well with. It happens. Okay? But their job as instructors is to mark down and note what you did wrong. And hopefully, as instructors, they're going to tell you what you did right as well. Because here's something for you to please get out a pen, get out a marker, and write this down. I guarantee you 100% you will do more things right in every scenario that you run, including your evals, than you do wrong. I'll say that again. You will do more things right than you do wrong. But the instructor's job is to make sure you understand what you did wrong. So they're going to focus on what you did wrong. They're not going to focus on what you did right. Okay? It's going to happen. You have to deal with it. And the quicker you deal with it, and the quicker you understand that it comes from them knowing what it's going to take to get you through the academy. They know what it takes. I've seen what it takes. I know what it takes. And we're going to be honest with you. Okay? So take that knowledge that they have and just grab hold of it. Don't really look at it as negative. Look at it as they want and care enough about you that they want you to pass. And they're telling you everything they know that they can tell you to help you pass. Okay? All right, number five, lack of mental endurance and resilience. Ooh, yeah. You are going to get tired. You are going to get mentally tired. I'll tell you a quick story. When I was going through the non-radar class for instructors, so this is the class instructors have to take in order to teach non-radar. And we got, I'm pretty sure we were doing 14, 15, 16. Well, actually, we were doing at least five, maybe six problems a day. And we ended with 16. And I got to tell you, I had a headache. When I left that building that night, I had a headache. And of course, we were in Oklahoma City. My wife was in Dallas. And so I wanted to text her. But I didn't want to text her that I had a headache. I didn't want her to worry. So I write her a text and it says, "My brain hurts." And it got the point across. And then the next night we ended with, you know, probably 20 or 21, I forget which. And my brain hurt again. Okay? Your brain is going to hurt. Your brain is going to be stretched in ways you didn't know it was going to be able to be stretched. It's going to happen. You're going to have days, you're going to have scenarios that just don't go your way. And don't worry about it. It's one day. I've seen students come in after, it was probably 11, 12, 13, and come up to the desk and quit. Right then and there. Tried to talk them out of it. Couldn't talk them out of it. No problem. None of the scenarios. And that's what I mean by problem. No scenario is worth quitting over. All the scenarios are worth getting past. Worth learning something from. And there are some scenarios that the FAA has that are designed to knock you down. They're designed to knock you down, step all over you, jump up and down on you, and then see if you're going to try and get back up. That's what they're designed for. They don't want you to get too confident because they know if you get too confident, then there are chances that you're not going to pass, that you're going to stop practicing, and you're going to stop doing the things that you need to do. So when they give you a scenario and it knocks you flat on your back, just realize that was the FAA trying to make sure that you keep practicing. It's not the FAA trying to tell you that you have no business being an air traffic controller. This is the FAA trying to just make sure that you keep doing what you were doing. You keep practicing, keep studying, keep getting better every day. You don't pass the program on day 20. You don't pass the program on day 27. You don't pass the program until day 60. Okay? You don't pass until then. Until then, you have a shot and you can make it happen. So you're going to get fatigued. You're going to want to just chuck it for various reasons. I've seen so many students get to that point. Fortunately, I've had the opportunity to talk to them in the classroom after a run and talk them off the ledge. I haven't been able to talk all of them off the ledge. Had that student that quit. It's the only time I've ever had one student quit before we got to the end. But I almost had it happen again. He was so close to quitting. And I still remember that night. And you know what? Spent half an hour with him in between runs. Neither one of us took a break in between the runs. He stayed. He did very well in non-radar. He wasn't top of the class going into the radar evals, but I'll tell you, he came out of it top of the class. Ended up going to a facility, and this was three and a half years ago. He's already certified. He's a CPC, air traffic controller, at an en route facility. Okay, it can happen, and it can happen to you, but you have to get back up when it knocks you down. You can't stay down. You have to get back up and finish. Okay, so those are my five. Unrealistic expectations, dealing with high stress decisions, poor communication skills, failure to adapt to feedback, and that last and greatest one, mental endurance. If I could just be there with you and help you through. If you are already at the academy, I wish I could be there. And that desire doesn't go away when you leave the academy as an instructor. It's just as strong now. That's why I do these podcasts. Just hoping that if I can help even one of you get through the grinder that the FA Academy is, that warms my heart. That does me good. So, those are what I think are the common reasons that people fail. You can come in and be too confident, and by too confident I mean so confident that you don't practice, that you think you've got it. Well, I will tell you, I've seen the best students scare themselves in the radar evals. So don't think that you have it made. Not until day 60. Not until you walk out of that lab and they tell you, you have passed. And if you can do it on your second radar run, then go for it. That's the goal. You want to pass with one run left. And then you go in and you knock that one out of the park also. And I tell you what, there are some high bars for high score at the academy. But someone did that. Someone got 98 out of 100 points. And you can too. You can too. It can be done again. And it can even be bettered. Okay? So, thank you again so much for listening. Thank you for taking the time out to listen to me talk. Like I said, my passion is to help one of you. If I help one of you get through the academy, then that is great. I love that. But we have some things that are on the back burner. Well, they're not on the back burner. They're being moved to the front burner. Some ideas, and in future episodes, I'm going to be asking for you guys' help in solidifying how we, maybe how we can help you guys and you students while you're going through the academy. So, thank you again for listening. Just thank you so much. If you can hit subscribe, like, give us a 5-star rating if you think we deserve a 5-star rating. If you don't, well, then let us know what you would like us to do better. Leave me questions. I love getting questions. You can email me at Tom Haynes, and Haynes is spelled H-A-N-E-S, at sidebysideatc.com. And I will answer your question in private if you like. I'll answer it publicly if you like also. But hit subscribe, leave a review, and we just thank you so much. And until next time, have fun at the academy. If you're there, have fun at CTI school if you're there. And if you're not there yet, consider it. Next week, October 11th, the bid opens up. The open bid for air traffic controllers. I would put your bid in if you're interested. Put it in on October 11th because it may very well close October 11th or 12th. It says it's open till November 4th. Usually they only leave it open until they get 20 or 30,000 applicants, and they get them in days. So October 11th, if you're interested, get your application in and then sit back and enjoy the journey, because air traffic control is a great life. It's a great job. It's a great career. And your life will never be the same. So with that, I'll leave you. Thank you again for listening, and have a good day. Bye.